Okay, Chizkuni Parshas Breishis. So just very quickly, the first thing that Chizkuni says in Parshas Breishis, it's a little esoteric, so I'm just going to say it quickly because, you know, of the nature of it. But just why does the Torah start with a beis and not with an aleph? Torah normally, the first line of the alphabet is aleph, so why does the Torah start with a beis? So the Chizkuni says, because it's to tell you that the world is surrounded on three sides, like the Gemara Bava Basra says in Daf Chafei, and it's open on the north. Whatever exactly that means. And similarly, the shame of Aleph Dalet Nun, Hashem's name, that name, Aleph Dalet Nun, is mentioned 134 times in the Torah, which is connected to the gematria of the first and last letters of Mizrach, Darum, and Mairav, which is southwest and east, just not north, because to tell you, Hashem's name surrounds the three parts, the three directions. The fourth one is left open to Hashem to be Dan the Rishayim, them. Again, what exactly all that means is, you know, beyond me. I'm just mentioning it because it is the first thing he says. It's, okay, let's go on to the regular stuff. So we all know what Rashi says. Rashi starts says that the Torah should have started, instead of with Bereishis, it should have started with the first mitzvah of the Torah. This is according to Rabbi Yitzchak. Why didn't the Torah start with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim? Okay, that's Rashi brings. So the Chizkuni asks on this. First of all, he gives another pshat, Chizkuni, which is what most of us would have said, so that people should know that Hashem created the world. You know, so people, you might have said that the world always existed. So that's why the Torah has to tell you first that Hashem created the world. Okay. But as far as what Rabbi Yitzchak says, he says, the first mitzvah the Jews got was HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. So says the Chizkuni, what are you talking about? What happened to Avram got Bris Mila, Yaakov got Ged Hanasha? There are plenty of mitzvahs given before HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. So, the Chizkuni explains that. I mean, the first one's given to Klal Yisrael as a whole, but Ma'amid Kulam was given to the whole Jewish people, not just Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but given with the Jewish, as one to the Jewish people. Okay. Now, this second part is just very interesting. I never thought of this all the years. What's Rashi's answer? Rashi's answer is, why did the Torah not start with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, because Koach Maisev Higid Lamo. Why? Because the Goyim would come and say, when we come and conquered Eretz Yisrael, Listem Atem, you guys are Ganavim, you stole Eretz Yisrael, it was given to, it's the Kananis, and you'll tell them, well, Hashem created the world, and therefore he can give it to, it's his, he can give it to whoever he wants. Okay, so if you remember that the Pasuk later on, in Bereishis, that says Vaknani Az Ba'aretz. So it's in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav. If you look over there at Rashi, Rashi says, what does it mean Vaknani Az Ba'aretz? That the land was given to the land of Israel was given to the people of to the sons of Shem, and Vaknani Az Ba'aretz meaning the Knanim. Rashi says Hayaholich Vekovish Aseret Yisrael Mizaro Shel Shem. The kids of Shem were living in Israel, and the Canaanim came and they conquered it from Shem. They took it over. Now the Canaanim conquered it from Zarah Shel Shem. Okay, so now what exactly are the Goyim going to come and complain to us? They're going to say, well, Listem Atem, you guys are robbers, you stole it from the Canaanim, and we'll have to answer. What's going to be our answer? Well, Hashem can give the land to whoever he wants. So the Chizkuni asks, excuse me? Who stole it from who exactly? We took it over from the Canaanim, right? It was Eretz Canaan. We took it over from the Canaanim. Yes, the Shiva Umas, but just the Canaanim we took it from. The Canaanim stole it from us. And that Rashi, Vaknani Azbar, it says that Zaro Shel Shem, which is us, right? Canaan is from Cham, we're from Shem. The Semites, right? We were in Eretz Israel, and the Canaanim conquered it from us. So when we would conquer it back, they're going to say, you stole it from us? Who stole it from who? We were there first. Just goes to show you, nothing changes. That kind of stuff goes on. But anyway, he asked it for Akasha. What do you mean the Canaanim are going to complain, or the Goyim are going to say, Listem Atem? They stole it from us. We had it first. The Canaanim took it from us. Okay, that's one question. Secondly, Canaan is an Eved, right? The Canaan is the son of Ham, and the Canaan is Eved Lamo. Canaan is the is our Avadim, and Mashakana Eved Kana Rabo. So it should be ours, because whatever, since he's the slave, whatever he gets, we get. Anyway, it's ours. Okay, so What's his answer? His answer is it's not just Canaan, that there were other nations there besides that, like Melech Hatzor and others, that were not from Mishpachas Canaan. So it wasn't just the Canaanim, there were others living there too. Then another question on that first famous Rashi. Rashi says that how do you know it means, like when you teach in first grade, most people, it's Bereishis Bara Elokim, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. So Rashi famously says that that is not correct. The first pasuk in the Torah does not mean in the beginning God created heaven and the earth. It means in the beginning of God creating the heavens and earth, the land was tohu vavohu. Because Bereishis, it means Bereishis, Rashi says, it doesn't mean Barishona, in the beginning. Bereishis means the beginning of, in the beginning of creating, of Hashem creating the heavens and the earth. Because he says, Bereishis always means, connect this to some other word, in the beginning of. Barishona would have meant at the beginning. Bereishis means the beginning of. So just the Chizkuni says that that's not always true, it would seem, because there are other pasuks, there are other psukim rather, that say Bereishis. It says, Karban Bereishis Takrivu Osam. What's some other examples here? Vayar Rashis Lo. Okay, so he's saying, so not all Rashises mean beginning of. Okay, maybe Bereishis is different, I'm not sure. But that's the question. He doesn't answer it, just says there are other psukim that seem like Rashis is on his own. Like that pasuk of Rashis Takrivu Osam. You want to look it up? It's in Vayikra. Bays, you'd bays. Carbon Rashis Takrivu Osam. Okay, next. The Shem Elokim, Bereishis Bara Elokim, that name of Elokim. So it sounds plural. Obviously Hashem is one. Why would you use plural by Hashem? Okay, so the Chizkuni says, the reason why Elokim, again, which sounds plural, means, because we know it means in charge of, like Bala Kochas Kulam, all completely in charge. Why the, what's the, with the, because he has so many levels of Memshala, so many levels of control, absolute control. Meaning what? A regular memshala is always temporary. The king is king maximum as long as his life is. Can't be king longer than that. But Hashem is always in charge. And you can run away from a kingdom. You don't have to stay in the king's land. You could just leave the country. Not with Hashem. You know, there's nowhere to go. Not with Hashem. Anyway, so it means it has complete and total absolute memshala. That's why it's Elokim, means the Moshel on everything, ruler of everything, everything. Okay, that's just an example. Now, another interesting point in the second pasuk, it says, V'ha'aretz ha'isa tohu vavohu. The land was tohu vavohu, and what was the Shemayim? You know, it says, Bereishis Bara Elokim Shemayim v'aretz, if you go with that, that those were all created in the first day, Shemayim and Aretz, so why does it only say, V'ha'aretz ha'isa tohu vavohu? Once that wasn't the heavens tohu vavohu too? So the Chizkuni says, because it's not nice for it. The Shechina is, whatever this means, Shor in Shemayim, right, as we know, the Shechina is dwells in the heavens. So if the Shechina is sure in that, so it's not nice to say that the heavens were a tohu vavohu. The earth is tohu vavohu, and the heavens weren't, doesn't say it by that. Okay. Then we have Ruach Elokim Rechefes al Pnei Amayim. This Ruach Elokim, he says, that was necessary to get the water to go where it had to go so that the land could be revealed. Like we said, like it says by the, when Moshe split the sea, that this wind came and split the water around. That's the Ruach Elokim that was used to make the Yamim. Okay. Okay, then we have Hashem creating the light and the darkness. And it says, Vayikra Elokim la'or yom v'lachoshech kara laila. It says Hashem called the day, the light yom, and the choshech, someone called Laila. It doesn't repeat Hashem's name on it. It says Hashem called the or yom, L'choshech kara laila. So it's Chazal tell us that Hashem is not miyachid shmo on something bad. Hashem eina kadosh baruch hu miyachid shmo ala ra, el ala tov. Hashem's name is not by bad, only by good. So that's why it says it only by the or, and not by the choshech. And then we have, of course, the famous vayir vayivoker, yom echad. All the other days it's Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. Day one, it's not Yom Rishon, rather it's Yom Echad. So, we all know, Rashi says Yom Echad, that that's the day Hashem was Miuchad. Okay, we know the difference from Yom Echad, but something the Chizkuni here brings is the Pashup Pshat. The Pashup Pshat is, why does it say Yom Echad and not Yom Rishon? And the answer is, just Pashut, because the, you know, on day, when there's multiple days, you talk about Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi. On day one, there wasn't multiple days yet. It was just day one. So on day one, it's Yom Echad. Okay, that's a simple answer. Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi is for a series, but on day one, there's no series yet. So that's why it was Yom Echad. Okay. Now, on day two, the Rekia is created. What's that? So, according to this, we said Shemayim and Aretz were created on the first day, right? The first pasuk is Bereshit Bara Elokim, it's Shemayim Aretz. So Shemayim Aretz are already created. And the Or, those three things were really created on day one. Light, darkness, Shemayim and Aretz. So, what happened on day two? What was created there with the Rekia? So he says this is the this is the one on top of the Rosh, the heaven that is on top of the Rosh HaChayos. Okay, there's all different levels of heaven. So this heaven was the one that is on top of the Rosh HaChayos, which is from Pirkei Rav Elazar. Okay. Okay, and it doesn't say Vayar Lakim Kitov at the end of day two, because the Malacha was not finished. Okay, and he brings from a Zohar, so it just says Rabbi Sinu, you shouldn't start things on a Monday. Because apparently, from the time of Sheshi May Bracious, something you start on a Monday doesn't usually get finished by Monday. I mean, be sarcastic, nothing's changed. Don't start things on Monday, they won't be done by Monday. Okay, but there's an inyan like that, not to start on a Monday. Okay, that's what he brings from his Zohar. Don't start things on a Monday, they'll take a while to finish. Look, and Rabbeinu Bechai also brings this Zohar. Has to do with anything above one. I don't know, you could look there. It's from a Zohar to not start on a Monday. Another thing, this is also, it doesn't say Kitov on this Monday, on that Monday, because that was also the time that the Or of Gehenna was created. Okay, then we talk about the creating of the sun and the moon and the stars, Vehayulo, Sos, they will be for signs, right? Anyway, what's the Sos? The signs, so some of them, the Chizkuni says, it'll be like an Os, like in the times of Yeshua and Chizkia, that Hashem made miracles with the sun and the moon. And also it's an Os about what's going to happen. It's called astrology. Look at the stars and see what's going to happen. That'll be Laosos. Okay, then it calls them the Maoris HaGedolim. So what does it mean that they're the Maoris HaGedolim? So Rashi famously says that they were both created the same size, and then one complained. So Hashem said, okay, you go maybe mite yourselves, and the sun became the big one, and the moon became the small one. But they were originally created the same size, and that's why they both called them Maoris HaGedolim. And the Chizkuni says a fascinating pshat that the Maoris HaGedolim, they're called the Maoris HaGedolim because they are the exact same size. They remain the exact same size. The light of the sun is much greater than the moon, but they are the same size. Now, what do you mean the same size? To the naked eye, they are the same size, meaning they appear to us. This is a fact. This is not like ancient history, you know, ancient science. This is true. The sun is obviously physically much bigger than the moon. But standing here on Earth, it looks the same in the sky because, I don't know the exact numbers, but let's say the sun is 90 million miles away, and it's exactly, the moon is much closer. It's smaller, but it's much closer. So it's exactly the same ratio difference. I'm just making up the numbers because I don't remember if for argument's sake, the sun is a million times bigger than the moon, but the moon is a million times closer than the Earth. So it's the same ratio of stuff, so to us it looks the same, because even though the Earth is much smaller, it's much closer. So the bottom line is, on here, they both look the same, standing on Earth. They both look the same, the sun and the moon. So it has the same size, that's why the Shnei HaMaoris HaGedolim, they're both the same size to us on Earth, but one is the Maor HaGadol, one's the ones that give off the light, and one's, of course, the one that receives the light. Okay, then Hashem, on the next day, so we have the oaf and the fish are created, and Hashem gives them a bracha puruvu. And day six, man is created, and he's given a bracha puruvu. But we don't find a bracha to the animals, and the chayas of puruvu. So Chizkun explains, because Hashem didn't want there to be that many pehim of a chaya, because Pentir ba'alecha chayas has, that would be too dangerous. If there'd be chayas, too many chayas running around. Okay. Anyway, now we get to starting again in close to our Adam, which is our, of course, our main focus. In Pasuk Chavav, it says, Na'ase Adam, b'tzalmenu kidmusenu. Let us make Adam. The way that is translated in English is, let us make man. I think it's in English, man means man, not woman, usually. There's man, there's woman. Na'ase Adam, they say, let us make man. Okay, so the Chizkuni actually says, Na'ase Adam, humans, blaz. Human, it's a woman, whatever. Humans. So Adam, the Chizkuni translates, means a human. It does not mean a man, it does not mean a woman. Adam means human. So, as he says, Na'ase Adam, human, blaz, kolomer Na'ase ish ve'isha. Let us make a man and woman. So, the human. Now we know, okay, so there's a machlokas about how exactly man was created, or humans were created. Were they created as one and were split later? Or was one made first and then the other one was made from it? But either way, Adam was certainly made at least with an extra rib. But that's what he says. Adam is, let us make human, but that's what Hashem was saying. Let us make Adam, let us make humans. So Hashem makes man, and he says they can eat anything they want, except for the Eitzadas, but everything they want to eat, lachem yeh, lachla, lachal chayas ha'aretz. So at this point, Adam was not allowed to eat animal meat. He was a vegan. Or, well, I don't know about he wasn't allowed to kill anything. He wasn't allowed to eat animals. So, the Chizkuni asks Akasha. Rashi says he was not allowed to eat basar. Okay. What about the Chazal that says that in Gan Eden, the Malachi Asharis, Misaninen lo yayin, Mitzolinen lo basar, that they would give him wine and meat. That's what Chazal say, that when Adam was in Gan Eden, the Malachi Asharis gave him wine and meat. He had meat. So, I thought Adam wasn't allowed to eat meat. So Chizkuni answers, but maybe you'd say it's the obvious, Ahu basar yori min ha-shamayim. That's different. Basar that you get from the Malachim you can eat. He just wasn't allowed to kill any animals, but he couldn't eat the meat that comes from heaven is different. Okay. Next. Then we have, okay, we'll just get on Shabbos, Hashem, it says, Ve'yivarech lechem es yom ha'shvi, ve'yikadosh oso. So Hashem blessed the yom ha'shvi, meaning the world then was all full of all the tova and bracha, and that's what we say in davening, Ve'yivarech tov mikol ha'yamim, you blessed it from all days, that's Ve'yivarech lechem es yom ha'shvi. Okay. Now just another thing you may have thought about in your life, why does it not say after Shabbos, Yom HaShivi'i? It does not say that. He answers, because there was no Erev. It was all light, that Shabbos. It was all light. The light of that Hashem created, the light at the beginning of day, on day one. So that was the time the original light was used on Shabbos. So there was no Erev there. That's what he says. It's a quote from Midrash. Okay. So now, at the beginning of the Torah, you find the name Elohim. And then we have Ela Tota Shashamayim Ba'aretz Bihi Baram B'yom Asos Hashem Elohim. Then you have Hashem Elohim. And then after that, later on, we start having Hashems. So why the change in the Shem Hashem Elohim to Hashem Elohim to just Hashem? Because Hashem, Chazal Tos, this Chizkuni brings us, Hashem created the world. It was also B'machshava to create the world with Midas Adin Elohim. Is this Midas Adin? Then Hashem Elohim, Hashem is the name of Rachamim. So Hashem added Rachamim. And then once Adam eats from the Eitz Hadas, then he needs lots of Rachamim. Then you just find later on the Parsha just Hashem. Okay, but we'll get there. Hashem creates man and says, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. So Chizkuni says, Nishama shehi chaya la'olam. The neshama is called nishmas chayim because it never dies. Right, that's a nice shot. Even when the person dies, he has a nishmas chayim. It means eternal chayim. It's a neshama of life. It never dies with the dying of the guf. Now look at this, and that's all. That's in pasuk zayin, perek bey's pasuk zayin. It talks about that the nishmas chayim. And pasuk ches says, "Vayita Hashem elokim gan be'edim yikedem." Hashem made gan eden. Hashem put They're the Adam that he made. So where was Adam till then? Just important to point out, because he's going to say this about both of them. Adam and Chava, based on what the Chizkun is going to say, neither of them started off in Gan Eden. They started off wherever, I don't know where. But Hashem put them in Gan Eden, as you'll see. Here's the pasuk that says, Adam was put in Gan Eden, that the Adam that Hashem had created already was put in Gan Eden. I mean, he wasn't born there. He walked in. He was placed there, but he wasn't born there. This way, presumably, you could appreciate that the rest of the world was full of, like he says, kotzim and whatever, and thorns and thistles, and then he was put into Gan Eden. Okay, eventually Adam, right, he goes, or he tries to connect to everything on the earth. Adam lamatza ezer connecto. He couldn't find someone for him. Now, why did Hashem not just make Adam with a man, with a woman, rather? Why did Adam have to go around looking and not find one, and then, why did Hashem originally create him with just two, Adam and then Chava? So, Cheskuni says about that, we know this, what the Mishnah Perkei Avos says, Lama Adam Nivri Yechidi. Okay, but the Cheskuni says the reason why an Isha was not created originally with Adam is because Hashem saw that Adam eventually would sin, and he would blame it on his wife, and he would say, oh, Hashem, why'd you give me this wife? So this way, Adam is the one who asked for it. Adam needed it, in Lo Matze Ezer Kenegdo, so since Adam had wanted it, and Hashem gave it to him, then when when it would not work out, meaning that she would cause him to sin, he wouldn't have a place to complain. He did complain anyway, but at least this way he is the one who had wanted it. Anyway, then you have in Pasuk Chaf Beis, what I was saying before, it says, Vayivan Hashem Elokim Esatzeil Asher Lekach Min Adam Leisha. Hashem made that rib into an Isha. Vayivieha El Adam. He brought her to Adam. Again, the Chizkuni says the same thing. She was not born in Gan Eden. Hashem made her outside of Gan Eden. Vayivieha El Adam. Brought her to Gan Eden. So they both started outside of Gan Eden, according to one shot. And then we have, of course, he says, Zos HaPam everyone, that was also part of the Nishmas Chaim, Chazkuni said, that he has Ruach HaKodesh, and Adam was able to figure out what the true name of each of the species were, meaning the name that Hashem himself had called them. So, he says, by the Isha, Zosapam Etzame Atzamaya Basar Rib, sorry, this time it's from me, meaning because all the rest of history would be him from her, meaning a man comes from a lady's the only one that can give birth. This time, so to speak, Adam gave birth. So Zosapam, this one time, she's coming from me. Okay, that's what he says. And, the next parak talks about the Nachash tricking Chava. You have some very amazing things here. First of all, it says that the Nachash spoke to Chava. I just always assumed that was just the way the Nachash used to be, and then it was changed. Meaning, we know the Pasuk says that Hashem cut off the legs of the Nachash. What about the whole talking thing that the Nachash was talking to her? I'll just tell you what the Chizkuni says. The Chizkuni says it was an ace. Meaning, just like Hashem opened the mouth of the donkey to talk to Bilam, he opened the mouth of the snake to talk to Chava. That's what he says. So it was an ace that the snake talked to Chava. Now, here's this fantastic shot. If you listen to the whole shiur for this, it's worth it. It's on Pasuk Dalet. Okay, he says that we know that the Nachash was trying to convince her to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So what does he do? He pushes her into it, right? This is what Rashi brings. He pushed her into it because she told the Nachash that Adam told me that, Hashem said not to touch it. Now, we know that wasn't the truth. Hashem said not to eat it. But Adam had set up a fence together and said, don't even touch it. On the day you violate this, you die, right? So the Nachash pushed her into the Eitz Hadas. So now, he says, the Nachash says, lo mos temusun, you will not die. Vayomer Nachash Elisha, lo mos temusun, you won't die. What does that mean? Rashi says, look, I just pushed you into it, you touched it, you didn't die. So you see, nothing's going to happen to you. And you can eat it, and you can eat it too, and you'll be fine. Okay, now we know the Nachash, besides being a Nachash, it also represented the Yitzhara. Listen to the Chizkuni's chat. Rashi said, lo mos temusun means you're not going to die from it. Chizkuni says, it's lomos to musun, you're not going to die from it. Meaning he pushed her into the tree and she touched it. And she thought to herself, uh-oh, I touched it. And she, remember the thing was, biyom, on the day you eat from it, you'll die. The day's not over. So she thought she's going to die that day. So what the nachash was trying to tell her is, not that you're not going to die from this, from touching it, you're going to die. Look, I just pushed you into it, but now you touched it. And now you're dead anyway. So you might as well eat it. That's why he was trying to convince her to eat it. She says, oh, lo sochli meno v'lo sigubo. And he said to her, lo mos to musun, like I just pushed you into it. You're not going to die from eating it because you're dead anyway. You're going to die anyway. You touch the thing, you're dead anyway. You might as well eat it. Which is, it's such an unbelievable mussar part because, you know, the nachash is supposed to be the Yetzirah. And is that not the classic Yetzirah? You're a sinner anyway. You're anyway, Hashem doesn't like you. So you might as well do Averis anyway, because Hashem doesn't like you anyway. You're such a horrible sinner. You're going to die anyway. Might as well live it up. So that's the lomos to musun. You're not going to die from this, because you're dead anyway. You're not going to die from eating it, because you're anyway going to die. Seems might as well do the Avir. That's the Chizkuni's pshat. Fascinating. Okay, then it says in Pasuk Ches, V'yishmu es kol Hashem Elokim mishalech bagan. They heard the voice of Hashem walking in the gan. And the Chizkuni points out that the voice was walking in the gan, not Hashem. Hashem doesn't walk, obviously. The kol was holech, the voice was go. Like we see, it says, Vayhi kol hashofar holech. A kol can walk, so to speak, it goes. So that's what they heard, that the voice of Hashem. And Hashem says to Adam, where are you? And he says, oh, I hid ke romanochi. So the Chizkuni asks, what do you mean he was naked? As soon as he ate from the Eitz Hadas, it says that they made for themselves these things to cover themselves, alei te'ena. So he's, what do you mean you hid because you were naked? You're not naked, you're wearing this alei te'ena, right? It's a very poshut question. So the Chizkuni answers, maybe he just wasn't, it means he only covered a small part of him. Only covered the Basar Erva, but there's other parts that he's also not covering. That was called, like, naked. Then we have Hashem punishes the asks Adam, where were you? And then we asked to the Isha, what'd you do? And the Isha blamed it on the Nachash. And it says Hashem did not wait for the Nachash to respond and already said what his punishment was. Because Ein Mahapchen B'Zchuso Shel Mesis. We don't try to find a schus for someone who convinces someone else to do an Avera. So, because otherwise the Nachash could have said, oh, she shouldn't listen to me, she should listen to you, what do you want from me? Divya Rav, Divya Talmud, Divya Mishomin. Anyway, Hashem didn't wait for the Nachash to respond, because he's the one who tried to get people to sin, so we don't wait for him to come up with a chus for himself. So the Chizkuni just says that halacha is by Avodah Zarah. A mesis, someone who tries to convince you to do Avodah Zarah, there are all these rules for. This was to convince you to do a specific Avera, why is that the same? Okay, so anyway, so he answers that when he told them, if you eat from Eitz Hadas, you'll be like Elohim. So that you're getting closer already to Avodah Zarah. That's what I had to do with Avodah Zarah. Okay, anyway, the Nachash is cursed that he has to, he has to crawl on it, go on his legs, on his stomach now for the rest of his existence. And he gave him, Afar Tochal Kol Yimei Chayecha. You'll eat dust. Okay, so everyone asked, does a snake eat dust? I mean, the snake sticks its tongue out on the dirt all the time, but it's smelling, it's not eating, it doesn't eat dust. So the Chizkuni says, I'll read you his words, Shemitoch shepicha ba'aretz ha'afir yikanes etoch picha v'tochlenu ba'al karchach. Since your mouth is on the earth all the time, so, for sure, some dirt's going to get in your mouth, whether you try or not. So, dirt, you're going to be eating dirt, the snake, not because it wants to eat dirt. It's going to be forced to eat dirt, because its mouth is on the floor all the time. I presume since its tongue is going on the floor, it gets a lot of dirt that way, but its mouth is on the floor, so it's going to be eating dirt, whether it likes it or not. Okay, then we have the woman's curse. That's in Pasuk Tezayin. El ha'isha amart, he says to the woman, harbe, harbe, it's v'nech v'yronech. She's going to have a hard time giving birth, and she's going to want her husband, and he will rule over her. What does all that mean? So the Chizkuni takes it piece by piece. So she will say, maybe she'll say, I don't care about any klala, because I have shvachos. So they'll take care of me. You know, so I don't have to worry about the klalas that Adam has to worry about. So, because I have shvachos. So Hashem says, well, you'll have a very unpleasant childbirth. And just like you fed yourself, your stomach, with the Eitz HaDaas, so you'll get a punishment of your stomach will have, you know, tzaros when, it'll be hard for her to give birth. And if you'll say, well, maybe she'll give birth calmly, so it says, Be'etzav tel dilbanim, no, it'll be hard. And if she'll say, okay, well, then I just won't be with my husband. The response to that is, V'eli sheikh tshukat seikh, no, you're going to want to be with your husband. And if she's going to say, okay, well, I don't need to be with him that badly, I just won't. Then it's v'huyim shalbach. It's not going to have a choice. He can rule over you. You're going to be stuck with him. So that's the way the pasuk is going. So he can be boel her, whether she wants to or not. Okay. Another interesting thing in pasuk Yudzayin, it says, Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha. The earth is cursed. Ba'avurecha. So ba'avurecha, you would assume, as Avinkala says, because of you. Because of you, the earth is cursed. Listen to this. This is a very interesting pshat. The Chizkuni says, no, that's not what ba'avurecha means. It doesn't mean because of you. It means arura ha'adama bitfuascha. Your wheat will be cursed. Really? How? Remember, it says in Vayochlu me'ibur ha'aretz, when they ate me'ibur ha'aretz. What does that mean? That means from the wheat of the land. Me'ibur ha'aretz is the wheat of the land. So arura ha'adama ba'aburecha means your wheat. Your wheat will be cursed. In your wheat will there be cursed. Okay, that's just an interesting point. Okay, then he gets kicked out of Gan Eden. Chizkuni says, like someone who killed Beshogig. So he didn't kill, but he infamates Adas, which in effect kind of killed, because he brought Misa Lolam. And he didn't have Das when he did it, so it was considered like a shogeg. Okay. So he gets kicked out of Gan Eden. Then we have the story with Cain and Hevel. And you know, Cain brought Pishtan, flax, and Hevel brought Tzemer, because he brought that sheep, Tzemer. So that's why we don't have Tzemer or Pishtim Yachda. That's why we have Kelaim. You can't have Shatnas, wool and linen, because Cain brought the Pishtim, Hevel brought the sheep, the Tzemer, and therefore, since that didn't work out well, we don't want Tzemer or Pishtim together. Just to mention, the Chizkuni had another pshat about this elsewhere. He had said once, the reason why shatnez is aser is because, you know, a kohen must wear shatnez. It's part of the big day kahuna. Not his regular clothing. His big day kahuna clothing are shatnez. And the Chizkuni said the reason why regular people can't wear shatnez is because it's the levush malchus. It's separated for the kohanim. So here, this is a different shat. That it sounds different. That the, since Cain and Hevel's thing was Tzemer Pishtim, Hashem didn't want us to mix that again. Now, after they brought that carbon, Cain's very upset that his carbon doesn't get accepted. And Hashem says to him, what's the problem? Ham loim teitiv. Say, eis, vim lo teitiv, lepesach atas rovet. If you do better, if you do tshuva, it'll be good. If not, your chait will be with you. Ve'elecha teshuka so, v'ata tim shalbo. And then we have a very hard to understand pasuk. Pasuk ches says, ve'yomer Cain al hevel achiv. Cain said to hevel his brother, doesn't say what. And they were in the field. And he killed him. What happened with those two psukim? Hashem saying, don't feel bad, just do tshuva, and it'll be okay. And then, some conversation that the Torah seems to be not telling us, what Cain said to Hevel, and that's it. Anyway, the Chizkuni tells us all that was going on. We understand Hashem was talking to Cain, just do tshuva. So this is what he says, the Chizkuni. What is imtativ's ace? if you can do good and you conquer your Yetzirah that you want, I know Hashem is saying to him, I know you want to kill your brother because you're jealous of him. If you can conquer it, I'll forgive your sin. If you don't do good, if you don't conquer your Yetzirah and you try to kill your brother, so then, the sin is there, meaning you'll be able to kill him if you try. And if you're going to say, well, he could run away and I won't be able to kill him, meaning Hevel, this is the Chizkunis explanation, Hevel likes you. He's not going to run away. Hevel wants to be with you because he doesn't think there's anything wrong. So that's Elechat Shukato. And if you're going to say, okay, when I'm going to try to kill him, he's stronger than me, maybe. No, Atatim Shabo. You can overcome and kill Hevel if you want. It's going to be available to you. You shouldn't. You should conquer Yetzirah, then Hashem will forgive your Avera. But if you don't, you're going to be able to kill him. And then, Vayomer Kain El Hevel Achiv, Kain says to Hevel, what? Shiim Shobo. They should just rule over him. Hevel's not masking, therefore he went to kill him. Okay? Yeah, you can look it up yourself, make sure I read that right. Okay. So Kain gets kicked out. And he goes and lives in Eretz Nod. Remember, his klala was to be Nav and Nod, and he sat in Eretz Nod. So Chazal tell us that his being kicked out was mechaper on half of it. He was supposed to be Nav and Nod. It took care of the Nod. He still had the Nod. Okay. Then we have the Neshei Lamech Tzila. So it says Tzila also gave birth. So remember, the Neshei Lamech in the times of the pre-Mabel, they used to have two wives. One wife was for Tashmish Amita, and one wife was for having kids. So Rashi tells us that Tzila was the one that was supposed to be just for Tashmish Amita, because she would sit in his tail. She was the one that they made pretty. Okay, but it says Tzila Gamhi Yalda. The reason it says Gamhi, says the Chizkun, is because she wasn't supposed to be having kids. But they gave her something to make her not have kids. Wasn't effective. So she also had kids. All right. Okay, now Lemech is related to Kayin, and Rashi brings that at some point his wives, after they had kids, were purish from him, because they said, all your kids are going to be killed anyway, because there's a Xera after 7 generations to kill out all the Zera of Kayin. So they said, what's the point of us having more kids? Because, now this is important. This is quoting of Rashi. Rashi says his wives were purged from him because all of the Zera of Kayin were supposed to die after 7 generations. Therefore, they said, why should we have kids with you? L'machar ha-mabal b'vashoti v'zakol. The mabal's going to come and wipe everything out anyway. So how do you read that sentence? Which is it? Because Zera of Kayin is supposed to be wiped out, or because the mabal is supposed to be wiped out? That's the Chizkuni asks. That seems to be a stira. Anyway, he says it's the same thing. He thought that the mob was there to come to wipe out the Zera of Kayin. Okay. I just want to skip to one thing very interesting in Pasuk Chavav. It says, Veker Shemo Eno. She brings a chazal. This is just a very cool chazal. It's a Bereishis Rabba. Medrash, it says in Pasuk Chavav, Veker Shemo Enosh, right? Azuchal. How's it go? Azuchal Ekro B'Shem Hashem. So the Chizkuni brings this medrash that says, 4 things changed in the days of Enosh. Haharim Nasu Trashim, the mountains started being hard to grow things on. The Hischil Esameis Marchish, the humans started decomposing when they died. The Naseh Pneim Kikofin, their faces started looking like monkeys. The Nasu Chulin Lamazikin, and they became Chulin, as in not special, to the Mazikin, that the Mazikin would attack them. As Huchal, Huchal means it was nisbatel, it stopped, like le'yachel dvaro. It means to stop, to not have. The crow b'shem Hashem. People stopped calling b'shem Hashem. So these bad things happened. But the most fascinating one to me is that the nasa p'neim kikofen. What does that mean? Their faces looked like monkeys. Who knows? Is that connected to, and therefore the Mazikin got them, or what does it mean? Their faces became like monkeys. I mean, literally, it means in some spiritual way. I don't know, but I'm just sharing it. Then we have this very unique pshat about Chanoch. It says, right, Chanoch sounds like the tzaddik. And if you listen to this, and according to this, Chazkuni, oh, is he a tzaddik? At the end of, right before Shvi, it says, Vayisalei Chanoch es Elokim ve'inenu ki lakach es Elokim. Chanoch went with Hashem ve'inenu ki lakach es Elokim, because Hashem took him. What does that mean, ve'inenu? So, if you look at him, and look at Unklus, Unklus says, Vilei Soi, he just wasn't. Chanoch was going with Hashem, and then he's gone. Vilei Soi, einenu, he's gone. Well, listen to this Chazkuni. The Chazkuni says, his girsa in Unklus was, Ve'isohi, and he was. So, it's just the opposite. He didn't go anywhere, that means. And he says, this is where you get from, in the Gemara all the time that it says, in. In means yes. Ve'inenu. It's that kind of thing. In, ini, it means yes, it is, it exists, it's correct. In hachanami, yes. Anyway, according to this, it means that Chanoch never died. And the Chizkuni says, Sharei Lohei Masasar HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Din Kilim Ba'asid Lavo Im Eliyahu Be'es HaGa'ula. This Chanoch, wherever he is, he's coming with Eliyahu at the time of the Ga'ula. And he says, Chol In Ve'ini Shebetalmud Pirish Acher Ve'enenu Zeh. That's in is coming from this. This in means, Einenu here means that he is, according to that Gersa in the Targum, and he's going to come when Mashiach comes, when Eliyahu comes, this Chanoch is going to come with him. I don't think I ever heard that, but so that was news to me. And okay, we'll stop here.